Okay, I'm back.
Oh, excellent. How are you?
Doing well.
It's early for you. It's like 11 in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 10 after 11, yeah.
Are you a morning person?
Not usually, but I'm not too bad with it.
No. I'm sure you're a very busy guy at the moment.
Oh, things have been pretty crazy. It's
Good.
one thing after the next, which is actually good because there's definitely a lot of interest and people are seeming to want the information more and more, so that's a good thing.
Ah, that's what I like to hear. Yes, well, as far as I'm concerned, what happened to me was once I started finding myself opening up to the true information, then I was just ha it was just a process of refining and refining all the sources until I found some that I really trusted, and that takes a long time.
Sure.
And anyway, we shall we start?
Sure.
Okay, so everyone, welcome to Illicit Talk. Today I'm so excited to have one of the, what I consider one of the greatest thinkers and speakers and writers and researchers and human beings that I can find alive on the planet. His name is Mark Passio, and if you want to know about all things Mark, go to whatonearthishappening.com, Mark?
That's right. Alyssa,
Yeah.
thanks so much for inviting me to be interviewed here today.
Oh, you're always so humble, which I love about you, but at the same time, you can really stick it to people when they're not getting a concept or when they're remaining willfully ignorant or even willfully nescient. Is there a possibility of that? I've just been learning this word for innocence, nescience.
Yeah, nescience is about not knowing through no fault of your own because the information was absent or unattainable. So I would say that really can't be willing, but ignorance certainly is willing. That means that you don't know because the information was there, but you willfully chose to ignore it or not pay attention to it, and therefore remained not knowing of it when you could have learned. So that definitely is something that is willful and to me is inexcusable, especially if it's information that needs to be understood because its lack is causing suffering. And that's the situation that humanity finds itself in, unfortunately, in the current day.
Okay, so when people are nescient, it can't be deliberate. But sometimes when people are ignorant, I even wonder if it's a kind of nescience from themselves because they don't actually know what they're ignorant to. Does that
Sure.
make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it does. It's because they've been dissuaded from even thinking that this information is important or needs to be understood. It's a mind manipulation tactic that the powers that be often use. They don't even hide information anymore because obviously information really can't be hidden the way it used to. We
For
have
sure.
access to communication systems now that are global and instant. So, what they do instead is by ignoring it and by casting doubt on it or casting ridicule upon certain bodies of information, they are now simply dissuading people from looking into that body of information because they're convincing them that it isn't necessary or that there is nothing to that information. So the technique has actually shifted in the modern world, and the people who are actually in control through their knowledge of the occult. Don't even hide it anymore, and protect it viciously. What they do is they simply cast derision upon it and, say that's evil, that's bad, that's something that you don't need to know about, and that's something you should never look into. And that technique of mind control works quite well.
It works amazingly well. I mean, all my life I'd been ridiculed for any kind of spirituality, not just by my family, but by a lot of society. And as I got to about 30, mid-30s, I started to realize anything that you're ridiculed for is a good direction to go in. Quite often it's a truthful direction that the majority of people are just not willing to even look into because they don't want to be shown up to and ridiculed. It's so pathetic how weak we all are.
Yeah, more likely than not, the areas that people are loath to go into is something that you're going to want to look into and understand, because there's a reason that those people have been dissuaded from looking into that information. And, you know, I always talk about the two main bodies of information that people really need to explore and understand. You know, what is the occult, you know, that I talk about? Occult, of course, means just hidden. It comes from the Latin verb occultare, which means to hide, to conceal, or to keep secret. And people will ask then, well, what is that knowledge? What is the knowledge that you're talking about that these rulers, that this ruling class wants to hide? Well, it's the knowledge of the self is the first body of occult knowledge. There's two main bodies that comprise it. The knowledge of how the human psyche works and operates, our deep-seated motivations and desires, the knowledge of how the subconscious mind works, etc. So that's the microcosm, or what I would simply call the inner world. It's the monad, the individuated unit of consciousness. To understand and know the self is so important, because if you don't know how you work, if you don't know how you operate, if you don't know how the psyche works, it's going to be very apt for manipulation by someone else who does have that knowledge and possess it and understand how it works. And they're going to be able to gain a tactical power advantage because they have a knowledge advantage about how the psyche operates. The second body of knowledge, you know, the other half of the occult, is what I would simply call the macrocosmic body of information. And that's knowledge of universal laws. And these are laws that operate in the physical domain and operate in the non-physical domain, or in the domain of consciousness. So they are laws that bind physical matter, and they are laws that bind behavior. And people have to understand both of these are working, not just the physical laws that we break down and pick apart and analyze and understand through the physical sciences, but the macrocosmic knowledge of the occult also comprises what I have termed under the umbrella term natural law, which are the universal moral laws that govern the consequences of the behavior of intelligent beings in the universe. So that's what occultism comprises. And if you just think about that body of knowledge right there that I've laid out, that's just about everything that is of value that we could possibly know. It's of everything of value that we make decision-making processes with. That is everything that we guide our behavior with. So if you aren't knowledgeable about those things, and if there's a class of people who are, a tremendous power differential is going to be created through that knowledge differential. And that is the reason, that is the very reason why dark occultists who want to hoard this knowledge, keep it to themselves, want it to remain hidden and don't want the public to know it. Because the common sense sharing of that information, and if it became common knowledge, it would level the playing field, and these people would lose their tactical advantage over their fellow human beings.
So this is really interesting, because I can tell you gleaned so much insight into how we're being controlled by being on the side of the so-called satanic controllers, in a sense, when you were involved in occult societies when you were younger. So before I get to your awakening, which I really think probably started way before you even went into any kind of occult study, but you must have had many awakenings going into the occult and learning everything that was being used against the general population, but then waking up whilst in the you were in the OTO, Ordo Templo Orientalis, is that right?
I was never in that organization. I probably had affiliations with people who weren't in that organization, but I was never a member of that myself. The main dark occult organization that I was a member in, I was a ranking member in the Church of Satan. I was actually a priest in that organization.
Oh, it sounds so exciting, but so daggy as well. It just sounds like, I don't know, I can just feel the ego oozing out of some place like that. But at the same time, there must be so many thrills in being let in on secrets, right?
Well, it's all about ego. It's a religion of ego. The religion props the ego up on the pedestal and kind of worships it as the god, even though there's not really worship involved in it. It puts the ego up on a pedestal as god in the world, and that's its main tenet or law, if you will, that self-preservation at the cost of any other is the highest aspiration of life. And it has other main ideological tenets like moral relativism. And this is what people don't very much understand about the dark occult or Satanism in general, is that it's not what people think it is. It's not as they depict it in Hollywood. It's not like, a bunch of crazy teenagers sacrificing animals in the woods to a fire or something like that. It's not what the dark occult is by any stretch of the imagination. It is very intellectually advanced human beings that have a whole lot of knowledge about how their fellow human beings operate and work, and they are using that knowledge to gain a power advantage over them and maintain it while they keep their fellow human beings in ignorance of how those manipulation tactics work. But it has some main ideological tenets that people definitely also don't know about and really need to understand, because they need to understand what the mindset of these people are, because these organizations also comprise people in the highest positions of power and influence in every single institutional walk of human life, including politics. So, self-preservation is the main law, I guess you could say, but it's there's a connotation to that. It's self-preservation at the expense of anyone else, if required or necessary. And moral relativism is the next major tenet, and that means there's no objective right and wrong to these people. There's whatever's good for us. Whatever's good for me is what I'm willing to do. Whatever's bad for me is what I see as bad. It doesn't make a difference who I have to step on. It doesn't make a difference if, something would be good for all. If I somehow, don't benefit, then I'm not going to be involved in that or try to have it be done. So moral relativism is just this idea that man can get to make up what right and wrong are. There's no objective standard, of right and wrong that we have to understand. It's just we can make these things up. We can make these distinctions up on a whim, on a preference, based on what we like or don't like. That leads to the third tenet, which is social Darwinism. This is based on, scientism and macrobiological Darwinian theory, and essentially it applies that this Darwinian theory about the supremacy of genes to the social human realm, and says that the people who, are coming out on top of the social pecking order, and we know them to be psychopaths, that's just fine that they rule over other people and, basically create inequality and iniquities in society, because that's just how it should be, because we're emulating all the other vicious animals in the animal kingdom that, rule the roost in their domains. So, we're just, applying that same quote unquote natural order to the human domain. And there's nothing natural about that, and there's nothing orderly about that. I call it the artificially imposed chaos, to get people to decondition from seeing this whole form of behavior as the natural order, because it is nothing of the kind. It is the exact opposite of that. So that's really what social Darwinism is about. And then if you just apply that to its logical conclusion, I guess you could say, that leads to the fourth tenet of dark occultism, which is eugenics. And this is the idea that essentially the ruling class, since they've propagated their genes and are betters, because they have been in those positions of power and been ruling over us, essentially have a right to call the population anytime they see fit, because they're the ones who, in their supremacy as the alpha class of humans, have a right to decide who gets to live and who dies, who gets to propagate their genes and who does not. So those are the four major tenets of Satanism and dark occultism in general. And just in what I've laid out there, I think listenership will be able to understand that these ideologies are drastically different than what most people see as Satanism or think of as Satanism. It is an ideology of life and a worldview, a way of looking at the world. And this is the ideology and worldview that is held by the people in current positions of influence and power in this world.
Yes. It's depressing as hell, but the most depressing thing is that the rest of us go along with it without complaining, and that's why I'm interviewing you, because you are turning vast swathes of people around to face our master and sort of look them in the eye squarely and recognize that what they consider to be an intellectual dominance certainly isn't an emotional intellectual dominance. So I really am one to believe in conscience, and I'd not even believe in conscience. I know we're all conscious, and I know that spiritually all of this universe cannot be organized like this into this chaos, which is so perfect, if it weren't for us to grasp this stuff, you know, if it weren't for us to sort of come into our full self and stop bowing down to this class of intellectual snobs and eugenicists. Absolutely. Anyway, I want to get back to you and your personal life, because I find it really interesting. What is it that makes a person want to step up and stand out and change things? So you must have gotten to quite a point of frustration in the occult society sort of networks. But I'd really like to know, even before, when were you conscious of waking up over your life?
Well, when I was involved with Satanism and dark occultism and started espousing that ideology through writing and music, my work was recognized by the high priest of the Church of Satan, who was running that organization at the time, who was Anton LaVey. He appointed me a priest within that organization because he liked my work and my skill set and my communication skills.
Can I just ask, sure, is any of the music on What on Earth is Happening yours?
It is not. No. None of my personal music is shared up there on that site. At some point, I could expose that and get into it. I had former bands that really espoused the satanic ideology and lifestyle. Essentially, they were like really hardcore metal bands. I put out the ideology through the lyrics of that those bands, and that work was recognized because I would submit the music to different magazines and fanzines for review, and I guess it was noticed by the satanic community, you know, by the satanic network, and they started looking into the way I communicated the message and said, "There's something here. Maybe we should, you know, reach out to this person." Because that's what they do. They put their feelers out. You have to understand it's a psychological vetting and filtration system that interfaces with the public. This is what I would call very low level involvement with the satanic hierarchy in general. It goes to much higher levels. My involvement, if I had to describe where my placement was in the so-called pyramid of control, you know, after it leaves the general public,
yeah,
it would be at the very base level, very low level. I don't in any way try to, put out there that this was high level involvement with the control system. This was.
Did you ever meet LaVey?
I never met him personally. No, just
did communicated. You want to? Would you have wanted to?
I did want to. I just didn't have the opportunity to travel back then, so I never went out to the West Coast and took him up on his offer, which he extended for me to go out there, but I just never took him up on it.
And is he passed over now?
Oh, yeah. He died in 1997, I believe, late 1997.
Right. Anyway, let's get back to your
He
awakening.
appointed me the year before he was he died, which was in early 1996 is when I was appointed by LaVey. I had been involved in Satanism prior to that, obviously, getting involved in the ideology. My actual involvement began in 1997. I'm sorry, in 1996.
Okay.
So when I realized that, well, what happened was he appointed me priest and he wanted me to start a grotto. This is their equivalent to a coven that you
Yes.
might, you know, that term you might hear about in other schools of occultism like witchcraft. But in Satanism, they call their group dynamic a grotto. And I didn't want to do this because I had considered Satanism a very personal thing that was about just, you know, knowledge that was held within the self and then wielded in the world to gain a power, you know, tactical advantage over your fellow human being. And so I understood kind of what the ideology was all about. I just didn't understand how integrated and how organized it was within our world. That's
Yeah,
what really
yeah.
threw me when I got further involved. So,
It really is like Rosemary's Baby,
yeah,
isn't
it is somewhat like that. It's not that
it?
far from the truth, certainly. Yeah. I wasn't involved in any kind of a level like that. It was more, you know, people coming together, practicing ritual, you know, just talking and discussing things and doing, you know, tasks and favors for each other. And being at each other's disposal to increase the power of the collective, you know, that's what it was really about. So
Did you do anything you regret? I mean,
no physical actions or behaviors that I regret, other than you know, spreading this diseased ideology to so many
yeah.
people in my youth. But I was not involved in that level where harm was being done to other people directly. They, I think, vet you much further and you know, make sure that you're certainly the psychopathic type
Yes.
personality before they bring you into those levels. So, I guess I never made it past that vetting, and
And
I
I
got out
guess
before it got to that level.
I'm wondering if it's like, people say the CIA and the NSA, like they need all sorts of people. They need people with no conscience and
Sure.
they need people with ethics as well, because there's all sorts of different tasks to be taken out, and it's okay if some people do something completely unknown to another part of the group,
Sure. It's very
And I think,
compartmentalized. That's the two aspects of the whole satanic network control system of dark occultism is compartmentalization and hierarchy. This is how they maintain both secrecy, rank, and doing things that you know the one body of the interconnected network may not be aware that the other is doing. So, you know, they'll get certain people to go along with certain tasks and agendas while others are in ignorance of those tasks and agendas.
Okay, so tell me about yourself. When did you first start thinking, shit, this world is a lot more broad than I've been taught by my school, by my family?
It was when I got involved in the grotto system of Satanism because I started attending some of their grotto meetings and rituals, and I recognized that there were people there, and from you know, it was an eclectic array of people from every single social institution on the face of the earth. You name it, and there were Satanists involved in high-level positions of influence and power in every social walk of life: politics, banking, media, education, law enforcement,
Medicine.
military, entertainment, technology, medicine. You name the field of human endeavor, you name the social institution, there were Satanists in those positions: doctors, lawyers, judges, police chiefs, police officers, doctors, you know, bankers, politicians.
Did
It
you learn
was
about Bohemian Grove before you went into the satanic
I
circles?
did not. No, I
No,
learned
right.
about that subsequently, but my involvement with Satanism allowed me to deeply understand what that ritual and what that place is really all about. I was actually explaining this on another show I did earlier this week, that that ritual is all about the destruction of conscience. It is a it is an ancient absolution ritual, which is about forgiving yourself for harmful deeds that you have not yet done. And this is why they do this. What they're doing is they're killing their conscience, so that will immolating conscience. Hence, it's called the cremation of care. Okay, they're immolating conscience symbolically in effigy, so that that will symbolically represent the immolation of their conscience and not caring about what they're going to do in the coming year. And they go back there each year to perform this absolution ritual. And it and they call the baby that they immolate, okay, the effigy, so-called, of this baby that they immolate. Yeah. I was saying on another interview that I don't even believe it really is an effigy, or if that one is an effigy that they do in front of the whole crowd, which is basically people who aren't even in the know about what this ritual is all about themselves. They're just useful dupes and people who want to be in the in crowd. I think a real sacrifice is being done behind the scenes.
There's some child sacrificing going on in the, that's like the private members area at the end of the night.
Yeah, I would say the real high-level priest class is doing the real ritual of sacrifice behind the scenes, and they're just using the focused energy and intention of the people out in the front to add power and energy to the entire ritual. So, but it's ultimately all about the destruction of conscience. That's what that absolution ritual at Bohemian Grove is about. I didn't have that knowledge when I was even involved in Satanism. There was so much I learned in hindsight after my actual physical involvement. You know, there were many things I didn't understand about their ideology even while being involved. You know, they call people the dead. They don't refer to the mass public, you know, as people, human beings, the public. No, they call everybody else that's not them the dead.
Well,
that's their
name
for people, because they say if you're not using your consciousness, if you're not actively involved in learning and acquiring knowledge and understanding what is really going on, then you don't have any thought, you know, actively. If you're not using your care and your emotions, then, you know, you're dead emotionally. And if you're not active and actually doing behaviors that can change things and make different things happen in the world, then your actions are dead. So if the three components of consciousness, your thoughts, your emotions, and actions, are all inactive, inert, essentially dead, they consider your consciousness is completely dead, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, you're not truly alive. And that's also how they excuse themselves, or, you know, basically forgive themselves for doing a lot of the things that they do, because they say, we're not doing this to live people. We consider these people completely dead. They're not active. They're not conscious. They're just meat puppets. They're just, you know, bags of flesh that are essentially inert and going through biological processes, but they're not really truly alive, you know. So we can do whatever we want.
This comes back to the birth certificate, where we're all turned into corporations orating corpses, you know. And so we really are dead until we start to sort of open our minds up to the way we've been enslaved. But a lot of people just don't even seem to want to do that. What was the catalyst for you that made you snap out of this consciousless or self-obsessed stage of your life, where you were only caring for yourself and your own whims, to want to stop and change and turn around and teach everything you've learned in secret?
Well, it happened, I guess you could say, in two stages. The first was when I recognized that these weren't people who were, you know, working separately, but instead working together toward a common goal to increase their own influence and power at the expense of everybody else's rights and freedom. And they were really trying to create a world that was ruled by them, which was a world of slavery, and I didn't want to be involved in that. I wanted personal power for myself. I didn't want everybody to be enslaved. That was never, you know, what I was about or wanted. But the real answer to that question is deep suffering. You know, even after I got out of my involvement with these people, I continued to really espouse the ideology and hold on to it because I was programmed, you know. And see, the main thing to understand is that these people didn't program me. I was already satanic before I ever got involved with Satanism. And this is what has to be understood about the world. Most people are living in a satanic state of mind already.
Yes, it's deliberate and it's been put across us. I even see my mom or my dad make a certain comment or do a little small thing, and I can see that it's the flip side of how they really would be. They don't actually realize that they've been sort of controlled into that dark way of, or that ignorant way of looking at things.
It's a worldview that's propagated, and they're propagating this worldview out to the public because they know that the only way that they can really rule the entire world is if the world is in a satanic mind state.
Yes. You know,
at a lower level, the lower level minions of Satanism are going to be the slaves of the whole satanic system, with a small class of an elite priest class ruling the entire body of slaves. You know, and that's why this ideology doesn't even care about its own members. They're all thrown under the bus, so to speak.
So
we have to understand they are able to continue to manipulate and do what they're doing because the public is held in the thrall of the satanic mind state. You know, this worldview and ideology is operating at a lower level throughout the whole public. And I would say that was indoctrinated into me by the very culture that I live in, by family members, by educators, so-called educators, teachers, you know, by other people in the culture all around me. I was already in a satanic mind state at a lower level before I ever became involved with any kind of official, in any kind of official capacity, in an organized dynamic with other Satanists, for sure.
And so when you started to wake up inside yourself, probably before and during and after your time in those circles, who did you start to talk to and share it with? I guess there's not many people on the inside you would have wanted to speak to.
No. To just wrap up that last question, the second part of the awakening was like really deep suffering because I was still in the mindset and I was still bucking natural law constantly in my life, and that just led to deeper and deeper suffering in my life until something snapped in me and said, hey, I have to change my worldview. There's something that I'm doing that's causing all of this suffering, and until I change that, I don't think I'm going to see different external results in my life. When I started to change that, then I started to see the external results that I was receiving in daily life from the universe changing drastically, and I was beginning to understand how natural law worked at that point.
Yes.
But the other question was about who did I reach out to? Certainly not family members. And I made it known within the circle of Satanists at some point that I was uncomfortable with proceeding, and people would, you know, think, oh, did they try to come after you, or did they, you know, threaten you? Absolutely not. Nothing of the kind, nothing like that, because they just, you know, once you don't want to be involved with their agenda, they just completely ignore your existence. It's like they were saying to me, you think we need you? You know, we're in control of the world. We don't need you, boy. You know, take off, get out of here. You know, go do your worst trying to tell people what you think you understand. You know, you'll be banging your head against the wall for the rest of your natural life.
And no one's going to listen. And that must have really spurred you on.
And they were correct, though. They were correct initially. Now people are starting to pay attention and listen because their agenda is so progressed that people are seeing there's something more to this than politics. There's something more than this than just financial machinations. You know, this is a religion. This is run by a priest class that has hidden its religion from the public for thousands of years.
And they're a bunch of mind fuckers because they are releasing so much information to awaken that percentage of us that are inquisitive or open-minded or self-possessed enough to pursue information for ourselves, in the sense of something like the Boston bombing bullshit or the Sandy Hook. I mean, I don't know exactly what's happened there, but I know that there's so many lies surrounding it that they're false flag events.
That's waking up more people, most certainly, because they're coming onto the pattern of how these people do their manipulation through fear. Once that chess move is understood, they don't really have too much more in their arsenal other than their soft methods of manipulation. And once people see those patterns and start working within those psychological frameworks to understand how they work, they're not going to be effective anymore. And that's what we need to get the whole population to, that point of deep understanding about how their tactics work. That's how you steel yourself against them. You understand how they work, and therefore you aren't affected by that technique anymore.
Yes. So you must have found it enlightening for yourself, being the first person to go out and start speaking so publicly against it. And so tell me, who did you share it with?
Well, I don't know just if I'm the first, but I would say, you know, I might be able to elucidate on the tenets more clearly from the perspective of deeply understanding their mindset and worldview. I think that's what I've brought to the table, that even if other people have come forward and, you know, outed people like this, that they haven't made it clear enough to the general public what exactly their entire worldview and ideology is all about. That's what really purpose. Needs to be understood, because we need to understand how we are reflecting this worldview in our lives and in the positions in the mindset that we currently hold as a people. And until we get out of satanic thinking, you know, we're not going to make any progress, and we're certainly not going to change anything. So the things that started waking me up to spiritual truth is when I started really deeply looking into real occultism, not dark occultism, started looking into the light side of the occult. And this is what people have to understand. It's not all one thing. It is not all just darkness and evil and people coming together to try to manipulate people with knowledge. The knowledge is the same. It is how it is used. So you can hold that knowledge and you can manipulate people with it, or you can understand that knowledge and have integrated it into yourself, and you could actually use it as an uplift for other people. Because again, what is the knowledge of the occult? The knowledge of the occult is the knowledge of how the psyche works and the operating laws of nature. So if you have both of them and you're trying to keep other people from understanding those two bodies of knowledge, that's dark occultism. If you understand both of those bodies of knowledge and you want to share that information, make it common knowledge so that you can uplift everybody together and then move forward in your evolutionary progress and consciousness together, that is what I would call light occultism, or what I simply call de-occultism. You're unhiding something that needs to be shared and known by everybody and made into common knowledge. So that's what I consider myself now. I consider myself a de-occultist, not a non-occultist or somebody who's, you know, not even looking into the knowledge or trying to share it. I'm somebody who is taking it out of hiding. That's what needs to be done with this information. It does need to be understood. We have to stop looking at the occult as something that is bad, dark, evil, scary. That's one half of it. And to delineate that distinction very clearly, what I do is I call, when you're using that hidden knowledge to manipulate and control other people, that's dark occultism. Positive occultism or light occultism, or what I just call de-occultism, is when you're in possession of that knowledge, but you're using it to uplift your fellow human beings. And it most certainly can be used for that purpose. And this is what still many people don't really fully grasp and think it's all bad and it's all just one thing. And I'm here to tell you very definitively, it absolutely is not one thing. That's a very unidimensional way of looking at the occult. And this is simply knowledge. And knowledge, like any other technology, okay, yeah. is a tool. It is how it is used that determines its outcome, that determines the result that you get, the manifested result that you get by putting it into practice in your life. So the consciousness of the wielder of that piece of technology or tool is going to determine how it is used and what result is received as a result of how it is being used.
Wow. So what did you ever have a time where you were like pulling your hair out alone going, oh my God, nobody understands all yes. this stuff that I'm, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Especially after first getting out or starting to realize what it was. Because it's like, how do you explain that to the people around you? They're totally not only unconscious of what's going on, but they don't have the framework of experience. They don't have the benefit of the actual experiences that I went through. And that's what I have to constantly remind myself of today. People may not be getting it in the fullness that I understand what's going on or who's really running things or what their mindset is or the mindset that they're propagating or the manipulation techniques that they use. But there may be a partially a deeper reason for their slowness in getting that. It's because they don't have the experiences that I've had. Not everybody has been in those places, and not even close to everybody. Very, very few people have had the benefit of an experience like that. And I say, I wouldn't take it back. People will say, would you do it differently? No, because I would not understand what I understand today about what's going on in the world unless I was in that position. Yeah. I think it's like the universe granted me that peek behind the curtain, you know, that little foot in the door there said, oh, this is what's going on here in the back room. Oh, thank you very much. I could do what I need to do now. Now I really deeply understand that and know it. Now let's get to work exposing it. You know, it was like it was meant for me to go through that process. So, and what started really waking me up, to even go back to your former question, some of the things that I was looking into, I have to tell people that trying to get to the bottom of the phenomenon of the possibility of interaction with non-human intelligences, of human interaction with non-human intelligences, looking into the UFO phenomenon, the alien abduction phenomenon, things like that, really started helping me to see how deeply hidden a lot of knowledge and information was.
Yes.
And also things that didn't have a left brain solution, you know, looking into things that I knew with logic could not possibly be being done by human beings, namely the crop circle phenomenon. When I started really exploring that and understanding the scientific intricacies behind this, like high heat and radiation types of being exposed to these plants and changing
and
germination
crops.
Rates and mitochondrial rates of food production inside the cells, you know, of the laid down plants. There was so much more to it that couldn't really be solved from a scientific or intellectual perspective. And I think that's when the balance started happening between my left and right brain hemispheres. The right brain started to come online then. Also, studies into shamanism and psychoactive plants really began helping me to awaken and get out of that purely left-brain imbalanced mindset that Satanism is all about. Reading a lot of works of occultism, reading works about shamanism, you know, we could get into specific authors, but I could be here all day naming names. But, you know, that's what really, going deeper into knowledge is what started taking me out of that mindset, that trance, that worldview, that conditioning and programming, if you will. And it's what, again, began to help me to understand how natural law operates. And then I began changing behaviors in my life. When that happened, the results in my life changed. And it really sparked a deeper awakening because I understood that I was the cause of the previous suffering that I had been undergoing because of the very worldview that I had held and propagated.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's you're a big person at a young age to come to that conclusion and sort of pull yourself out of that, I think.
What I think it speaks to about myself is that I wasn't nearly in as deep ego as I thought that I was. While yeah. I was in extreme deep ego and brain imbalance and ignorance and programming most certainly, I feel that most of the public is so much deeper into ego because I could admit that I was wrong. That's the yeah. main thing to take away from my whole experience. While I was duped into something like this and went into it from a perspective of I want to gain power over my fellow human beings, when I saw what it really was, I recognized it and I said, this isn't what I want to be a part of. I don't want to do this.
You must give hope to others in the same situation, although I haven't heard of anyone else coming out and making, you know, 300 hours of 500, 6,000, I don't know how many thousands of hours of great information you've put out. But, yeah, you're pretty rare in that sense that, you know, you think that once one person jumped ship, everyone would want to jump ship, but obviously there's some, you know, there's that little part inside of us that wants to belong to something or wants our own personal power enhanced by our position here or there or whatever.
Sure. So, I mean, so, you look at the psychopaths in positions of power throughout the world. How many people would choose willingly to trade places with them if they could have all the things that they have? If they could have the bank account that they have, if they could have the position of influence and power, so-called, that they have. Most people in the world would change places with them immediately. And that's what Satanism is. That's what people have to understand. That's a satanic mindset. If you say, I'd trade places with a psychopath to have the things that they have, to be in the position of power that they have, to have the amount of money that they have, if you think like that, that is Satanism. Because it's saying, all I really care about is myself, my own position. It doesn't make a difference whether it's just. It doesn't make a difference whether it's right. It doesn't make a difference if it's leading to suffering for other people. If it's good for me, that's what I want. In the moment, that's Satanism. And people don't grasp on a wide scale that that's what Satanism is. Most people are in that mindset. And I call what I call that this level of this ideology, I call it mini-me Satanism. A little cute name for it. Because you're not a Satanist in the highest ranks of the hierarchy, okay? Those are who I would call the priest class of the satanic hierarchy. You're a little lesser version of them. You have that same mindset, but you're operating on a smaller level, on a smaller scale in your own personal life. So I call it mini-me Satanism. This is what the main Satanists want to propagate into the world. They need people in that ideology, in that mindset, in order to manipulate and control them ultimately.
And everyone is pretty much in that mindset when you go around. I mean, even if it might be like, oh, I'll help my neighbor, but deep down I don't care about the fact that we're bombing Pakistan or something like that. And that it always reminds me of that brilliant Aaron Russo film where he says he actually asked, I think it was Nicholas Rockefeller, you know, how can you let some event happen that's going to kill hundreds of Americans, thousands of Americans? And he replied, you know, why are you worried about anyone else? Right. Just worry about you and your family.
It.
It's like such a bizarre idea that we're
and
not
he
all
outed
one.
Himself right there as a Satanist. I mean, that's a Satanist. I mean, it doesn't even make a difference,
you know,
if he's involved directly in the actual hierarchical organizations, which he probably is, but it wouldn't even make a difference. In the position that he's in with the amount of money that he has, the family background that he has, that ideology is a satanic, he is espousing satanic ideology, whether he's consciously aware of it or not, doesn't matter. It's still the espousing of satanic ideology.
Well, you expect it from the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, but I get it from my dad and my brother, and I just think, wow, like we're all so fucked. We're all Satanists.
Oh, they've done a number on the human population. There's no question about it. And see, that's that deep level of ego attachment to that worldview is what yes. has to ultimately be broken down. And that's yeah. that's what our work is to do, is to bring this type of information forward such that other people can understand how diseased of a mindset that they're currently in. And yeah. if they're not too deep into ego calcification, they may still want to become well. So, you know, this is what the great work is all about doing. It's about bringing this information to people's attention such that they can start to help heal the imbalance that's already present within themselves. And again, when I look back on my own case of the ego, it was mild in comparison to where other people's mindset is at. I was able to admit that I was wrong. I was able to yeah. say to myself, you know what, this is something wrong with me. For even yeah. having gone this far into this worldview. And it's nothing, it can't create anything but disorder and chaos in one's life or in the lives of others. It's yeah. it's not possible to be in this mindset and create something good. You yes. have to get out of that mindset first, then you can create order, then you can create freedom, then you can create peace, then you can create prosperity. You can't do it while in that mindset. It's not possible. According to the laws of nature, it's not yeah. possible. It doesn't make a difference. If you want to believe that's possible, it can't be done. And this is what I think people are so much deeper into that attachment, into that level of ego attachment than I ever was, even as a black-hearted Satanist in my youth. And that's yeah. kind of disconcerting, because it makes you realize how difficult this work is really going to be and what we're really up against. I am not trying to discourage anybody or create any fear in them. I try to be honest about the actual dynamic that's really taking place. I consider myself a realist. I consider myself someone that doesn't want to come on the airwaves and blow smoke up people's real ends and tell them it's all going to just be about, you know, meditating in the corner of a room, recite some chants, and everybody will be healed. I don't think yeah. the dynamic works like that at all. I think no. this is going to take deep introspection and work upon the self that people are very loath to do, and that they have to be persuaded and encouraged to do that work. And people yeah. are going to have to probably really guide them by the hand and say, look, here's the thing that you need to understand. Here's the thing that you need to work on in yourself. Here's what you what has to be changed if you want the things that you, if you really are going to try to manifest the things you say you want. You can't think like this. You can't feel like this, and you can't behave like this. And that's the thing people don't want to hear more than anything else. Not only don't they want to hear it, we're conditioned not to say, don't do this to people. This is a big New Age ideology, yes. that you can't ever state what's negative and tell people don't do something. Well, yeah. when people ask me, well, what's the solution, Mark? What do we actually do? What do I need to start doing? I tell people, I'm not here to tell you what you need to do or to start doing. I'm here to tell people what they need to stop doing.
You know okay? what I do?
Yep.
I tell them, go to Mark Passio's website, What on Earth is Happening, and start at the first podcast, and about 600 hours later, you will be further along than you are now. I'm honestly, what I want to direct any listeners to is the amount of work, the organization of your work, the beautiful eloquence with which you speak off the top of your head, from your heart, whatever you call it, as you work. But starting with solipsism, which is this idea that there is no truth and the truth is so big that you can never quite understand it yourself and all of this stuff. Right. And breaking down all of the false ideologies episode by episode and often repeating things, but they need to be repeated sure. because we have to unbrainwash ourselves.
That's right.
And so I tell people, look, not only do I listen to Mark Passio's shows, if they're good, I sit there and I scribe them out. I spell them out and I read over them, because there is so much that I need to learn inside myself. Because when I come to another person to try and explain something that I get on the inside, but I don't have the words to explain it, I'm stealing a lot of stuff from you. It's been wonderful to come across your work.
Well, there's no such thing as stealing anything from me, because it's all out there for free, and it's there for people to use as they see fit to teach others. That's what it's there for. So you're doing with it exactly what it's intended to be used for. There's nothing for sale up on my website. I don't charge anybody for the material. You know, if I make physical DVDs and bring them to lectures, I do charge for that work and the materials and things like that. But up on my website, every single thing is free. Even the DVDs I sell at a lecture, they're all up for free on my website. So
yeah,
if you
I
don't
know.
Want to buy the physical DVD, you know, the information is still accessible right there on the site. It's given freely to humanity in service of truth. That's all. And
this is beautiful.
I tell people, take the slides. If you want to go and teach people and give lectures, you can use my own slides. What's the difference? Why reinvent the wheel, so to speak?
Yeah.
You might have a better way of presenting it. You might have a more artistic flair if you want to make your own slides. But this is pretty much eternal knowledge about what's has been going on in the world since time immemorial, and it's information about how laws of nature operate, which aren't going to change, you know.
Yeah.
So this will be valid 100 years from now if we're still here, and hopefully things will have changed for the better by that point. We can hope, but
beautiful by then.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. This is about outreach to others. You know, knowing it yourself is one thing, and that's good, and that's where it has to start. But that's only the beginning. See, a lot of people in the New Age circles, and I always keep going back to this because this is a very dangerous ideology and religion, the New Age movement, because of the misapplications of teachings and the distortion of spiritual teachings that are being propagated through it, often by rote and by lack of understanding, not even in a deliberate way to confuse or mislead people. But they postulate this notion out there repeatedly.
And we pass
it's only
them
about what
ourselves.
We need to know. Once we come online and understand things and are, you know, so-called spiritual at that point, then that's it. That's the end of the process. You know, and what I'm trying to tell people is that's the beginning of the process. Yeah. We have to take this information to others that don't know it yet. It isn't about just understanding what's going on yourself. That's the beginning. Then you need to look and say, hey, is there ignorance around me? Is there darkness around me? Do my fellow human beings not understand what I've currently come to understand? Well, then you need to propagate that knowledge to them, whether they want to hear it or not. It isn't a free will decision to say, it's okay that I don't know this. I'm going to remain ignorant of it because I'm fearful of it. What's happening is the whole society is suffering as a result of that ignorance. So we can't just be content. See, that's part of the passivity of the New Age mentality and ideology.
Yes.
Is it saying, just be content with the situation the way it is, and if somebody else isn't ready to hear it, don't give them that information. Wrong. That's the exact wrong way to go about things. We need to push this information out into the world in the same way that the dark occult pushes their ideology out into the world. That's why it's called the Great Work. It involves the usage of force, not violence. Force is the ability to get something done. Force is the ability to change something from a scientific definition. So you're going to use force to make any change happen in the world. The same is true with information propagation. We need to put it out there through work. It takes work to put this out there, okay? And it takes continuous persistence. You need to be persistent. Courage is required, knowledge is required, and persistence is required to do this. You have to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to create uncomfortable, possibly even tense situations with fellow family members and friends. That's what doing the great work is all about. It's about not being content to let the status quo continue, not being content to let the ignorance continue.
And the majority repress you.
Yes.
I was speaking to another one of my favorite teachers on the planet, Mary Elizabeth Croft.
Okay.
And she said, I told her I was speaking to you, and she was like, oh, tell Mark I love him. She's
cool.
Like, he is so cool. She said, it's so lovely to speak with a man. in capital letters. And she's like, "We are all so sick of men with no gumption." I was like, "Gumption, that's a cute word for the kind of what I call bravery or courage to face the great powers that supposedly be. But the more of us that stand up and do it, the less power that they
have,
right. Of course.
As they say, many hands will make light work. And that's what we need. We need to increase numbers and get more people teaching this information. Knowing it, again, is one thing. That's the beginning. But I would say people aren't really actively involved in the process of true awakening and promoting the general awakening of humanity until they get involved in propagating this information in some form or another themselves.
But you have to be so evolved, Mark. Like, I've been away from my family for 4 years, and I really thought when I came back that they'd all be hip to the fact that 9/11 was an inside job now, and they'd probably even be looking up a few things themselves. But nothing has freaking changed, and their ignorance is definitely willful.
And this shows you how correct the idea is that we need to propagate this information and speak it at all times and places, whether anybody is ready to hear it or not. The more they hear this from more people, the more it will sink in. And
whether
they even look into
it
or not, it will become common knowledge by osmosis from them hearing this over and over. That's really what programs somebody, right? They're programmed according to what they currently think about how the world operates because they've heard it over and over and over repeated to them by the media. That's the other thing. The television keeps people in the trance mindset so much because it's constantly speaking the deception and the lie to people.
I'm in a house with my mum and dad at the moment, and it's been 2 months, and it's been beautiful to be forced together. But it's shown me how useless I am at teaching, how egotistical I still am, because I get really frustrated that I can't change them or awaken them or whatever it is that I want to do. And even today I was thinking, they're just starting to relax around me and I'm starting to relax around them after 2 months. You know, we're family and we're all in the same house together. And that the reason why everyone's starting to relax is because I'm living about 10% of my personality here. You know, because the other 90% has been repressed. It's been repressed all my childhood. And since I came back, it's like everybody would jump down my throat collectively if I would try and bring something up. So
I take a very different approach to this than most people will even be comfortable in hearing, because the great work is very unpopular. Okay, what I would say we need to be doing as people who are attempting to propagate the truth is ganging up on an individual.
Yes, I like that.
Okay, now most people will hear that and they'll almost be horrified by that. I'm glad you like it, because
I like it because I know what you and I are doing right now, having this conversation in an empty room. This is a form of ganging up, and I know that one day in the next 3,000 years, somebody in my family might listen to this and they might feel a bit ganged up on, because it'll be two against one for a change.
We need a conspiracy. We need to formulate a conspiracy. Dude. We are conspirators.
And
all conspiracy means is to breathe together. That's all it means.
Yes.
What that really comes from is the Latin prefix con in Latin means together or with, okay?
Yes.
At the same time as together, okay? And then aspiro spirare, the verb in Latin, means to breathe. And that is the root of the word spirit in English, okay? And spiritus in Latin. It comes from spiro spirare, the verb in Latin. Because that which is infused with the breath of life is that which has spirit within it. Okay?
Yeah.
So all a conspiracy is, a group of conspirators, are those of like spirit, those who have come together in a similar spirit. Okay? Their intention is the same. And that isn't that what a conspiracy is? Of course it is. Okay? So we need to conspire against the darkness and ignorance in the world. And we do that by coming together and saying the truth to individuals who are still trapped in ignorance. See, Could, let's use, for example, your mother, right? Could mm-hmm. she be awoken by a certain group of people? Probably not by you yourself. And, you know, that could be a blow to your ego, as you said, and you recognize, you know, that you yourself may be powerless to do that. But what if there were 20 people just like you at your level of consciousness? Could you wake then your mother up if you all continuously worked upon her, continuously brought that information forward to her at all times and places to a point where she could not ignore it or actually get away from it? If you continuously hammered on that person. And when people hear this, right, the first thing they think of is, do you have a right to do that? Yes, you do.
Yes.
Absolutely. You would have a right to do that. Willful ignorance is not really a right of other people.
Yeah.
If it is ignorance of information about how we are creating the reality that we are experiencing. The reason for that is, in that level of ignorance, what you are doing is you are creating harm to the entire community of people if you are willfully ignoring it. Okay,
yes.
If it's not present, then okay, you're nescient of it. It's through no fault of your own that you don't know. But willful ignorance through fear or whatever the reason is, even through programming or any method that you're ignorant of it, if the information is present, the people who understand it have a right to forcefully introduce that knowledge into the world. Okay? And again, not violently. It doesn't mean you kidnap the person and hold them against their will, against their coercion. But you continuously speak the truth. This is what the great work is. The great work involves force. People don't want to hear this. I'm telling you, what I am expressing right here about the great work is the most unpopular position. And people who are timid, people who are afraid, people who are new agey, people who are passive, don't want to hear that this is how the truth of the world is going to be propagated. It is not going to happen just by osmosis on its own naturally. Will has to propagate truth. And let me just state that emphatically once again. The truth is not just going to naturally propagate itself at a time of universal deception and deceit and ignorance. It has to be propagated by means of willpower. This is what the New Age community does not want to admit, does not want to understand. People who consider themselves spiritual do not want to get this because they have this passive approach to spirituality. They're lacking the sacred masculine component of right action, of willpower in the world to change things, not to wait for change to happen, not to expect a savior to come down and rescue us, to make change happen in the realm of human consciousness by speaking the truth to other people at all times, at all places, no matter how uncomfortable the situation becomes. And if we gang up on individuals, individuals have to hear something. It's been said seven times from seven different people, at least, in order for them to even consider it as being the case, as being true. Then they may, at that point, start to research it or look into it for themselves or take it into themselves fully and consider it fully. Think about that. How many people have actually continuously attempted to bring any kind of truthful information to your mother as a being? Probably just you. Maybe one or two other people.
Maybe not just me. But I when I first came back and I mentioned to my mum, oh, the Boston bombing, that's all a big hoax. You've just got to look at the photo record. And she looked at me and I could see in her eyes that it wasn't the first time she'd heard it as a theory. Mm-hmm. And she didn't look at me like, oh, you're freaking crazy.
Right.
It's another one of your nutcase ideas. I could see her sort of, like a penny was dropping inside her that, oh, it's another person who's going to tell me that, you know. And you know, before I leave here, I am going to sit them down with those photographs and I'm going to take them through. And then they, you know, they're going to have to sit with themselves while they have that mind-blowing realization that there are, not only is there a little bit of dishonesty in the media, but the entire media is created for the purposes of misleading us, and that possibly there is so little truth in it that, but not only the lack of truth, but when you recognize like why a government or a shadow, a section of government might set up an event like this, or, you know, or even, you know, a private group might set up an event like this, it's for a reason, right? It's not just for fun. It's actually steering the whole of humanity, right, and affecting us psychologically by traumatizing us. And they go to great effort, and thousands of people must be involved. And you've got to start asking yourself, it's not just for kicks for them, you know? It's about bringing in an agenda, and that's what we're seeing now.
And
with
trauma and fear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And,
you know,
making
and it's a technique that's worked so wonderfully for them throughout the years. Finally, people are starting to catch on to it and see the pattern. You know, to go back to the example of, you sitting down with your parents and bringing things to their attention. I could give you a little anecdote about me doing that with my own mother.
I'd love
to. Yeah. You know, when I was raised in this city here in Philadelphia, I was raised in a traditional Roman Catholic background in South Philadelphia, an Italian area, Italian neighborhood, Italian family. They propagated religion by rote. You know, this is what we were taught by our parents. We're going to teach this to our children. There's no questioning. This is what the church says you do. It's what you do. And that's what started leading me into anger about religion at a young age.
Yes.
And, got me to look for the polar antithesis of it in the form of dark occultism.
Yeah.
But had I had the framework of knowledge about what most major religions are based upon, which is astrotheology, maybe I wouldn't have gone down that path, and my life would have turned out a drastically different way. And, I would not have developed that deep-seated anger about how I was being deceived regarding organized religion.
You'd probably be an accountant.
Sure, yeah, who knows? We don't have time to go into everything about astrotheology, but, it's a fascinating study, and you could, get my perspective on it on my website in the podcast section. But my mother was, actively involved in, and still does, attend Mass, attend church, the traditional Roman Catholic religious, ritual and things like that. So I wanted to make her aware of astrotheology and how it worked and what this religion stuff really was about, and especially what Christianity was really about was sun worship. It's actually a derivation in the modern world of the ancient solar cults.
Yes.
And at first she didn't really want anything to do with it, but I kept pressing and saying, I'm going to bring you this information. I'm going to get you to understand it. I'm going to show you how in this religion, Jesus is the Son. Here's the symbolism. He dies on the cross of the zodiac. He rises up from, on the east at Easter, he rejuvenates the world through his light, et cetera. It's all about the sun. So to make a long story short, that took a long time. I had to work consistently and bring that information constantly to her over months of time. Finally, it kind of clicked. And as you said, the penny dropped. She kind of got it and understood how this is all symbolic. And it's all, expressing, these ideas of the solar cult in the form of this allegory in Jesus. And when she was going to church at that time period, after understanding that, she said to me, "You've pretty much ruined the experience of Mass for me, because when I sit there in the pew now, all I see is the symbolism in the church that you told me about when you were explaining this astrotheology stuff. And I see that it's correct. I see that it's true because I'm there and I see all the symbols that you're talking about and how it all relates to the sun." And I said, "Yeah, it's all fraudulent, And that's not to say that there's no deep truths that underlie the heart of the esoteric Christian tradition. I'm not saying that there are no spiritual truths to be garnered from the understanding of real Christianity, not the form of exoteric Christianity that's being taught in the modern church system. So when she said that, I said, well, okay, good. You know what you need to understand. You understand now. And I, in conjunction with the astrotheology teaching, I was showing her videos and documentaries about the sex crimes and abuses of children that had gone on within the Vatican, and how the church just conveniently covered that up, you know, paid the parents off that had horrible abuses done to their children. You know, molestation done to their very young children. And the church was using money that was being garnered from collection plates. Sorry, did we drop there?
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry if it was me. But yeah, you were talking about the money in the church and the collection plate.
Yeah, let me just hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay. she said, "No, I'm still going to go to church. You know, I'm still going to attend mass." And I said, "Even though you know that the money that you're going to be giving them, how you know it very well may be used, even though you know about the fraud regarding this whole tradition is based in astrotheology." And she's like, "Yes, because this is all I know. This is all I'm comfortable with. What else is there?" In other words, she's saying, I have to have this type of quote-unquote spiritual framework, even if it's been ruined, quote-unquote, by the truth, okay?
Yeah.
You know, because what is the alternative to this? This is all I've been raised with. This is all I've ever known in my life. So it's that level of fear of the unknown that keeps people in this state of total ignorance and going along with what you know to actually be wrong. And see, what has to happen with somebody like that is at least 10 other individuals have to bring that person the same information and also stick it to them that they should not continue to be involved in an organization that does things immorally like this.
Yeah. Okay?
And fraudulently like this. Then maybe we'd make some headway. But think about it. There's not enough people teaching this information. There's not enough people deeply knowledgeable about the real situations that we are in to gang up on people like that. So until we build numbers, until we have more teachers, and until our family members and friends know this information so well that they could teach it to others, then we could start ganging up on people and saying, okay, well, two or three of us are going to talk to this person this week and we're going to all bring them the same information. It has to actually be done like a coordinated, targeted attack. Literally, we have to look at this as information warfare. You know, well, I'm telling people you need to do it willfully, deliberately, and forcefully. That's not to say tie someone down in a chair. You know, I didn't shackle my mother's wrists and tie her down to a chair and say, "You're going to pay attention to what I have to say." But every time you're around them, you have to bring new information to them and keep repeating things. Repetition, you know,
that's
a technique of mind control, repetition. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be repeating things over and over and over and over endlessly to people until they get it, until they recognize the truth in what you are saying.
Yes, I'm just realizing, like, one of the things that happens when I get together with my family is that I feel that the other four of them are picking on me, or the other four plus their wives, partners, and whatever, are enjoying ganging up on me as if they want to bring me back over to their side. And it does feel like a bunch of church-going Christian nuts sort of trying to, like, actually save me from my mindset, because they act as if my mindset is harming me. And what I'm trying to tell them is, your mindset is harming all of us.
That's right.
So don't worry about the fact that my mindset may give me a few so-called disadvantages in this current society according to your ideals of what's important and what's not.
And what I'd like to address in that is that people will hear this and say, you're promoting duality, you're promoting dualism, you're promoting infighting between people. No. What I'm promoting is the one thing that is the only thing that is truly unifying. Truth itself.
Yes.
Truth itself is singular. It is the thing that we need to unify over. you know?
Yeah, well, the fact you talk about solipsism is brilliant, and the way that you talk about truth, like when I was having a discussion with my dad when I first got back, I was talking about this concept of solipsism, and he was saying, "Oh, you know, there's no such thing as truth, and this and that," and I couldn't remember from all of your stuff I've listened to how I could put it so succinctly in one sentence, because, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, what, there is no truth, your truth's different from my truth." And I say, if I drop this lighter on the floor right now, the truth is the lighter dropped on the floor
That's
at
right.
2:28.
That's right.
But the way you put it, I was just listening to you today in the bath, and the way you put it is truth is unwavering. Truth never changes.
That's right.
Truth doesn't need people to believe in it for it to be true. Truth is what is.
That's it.
So, yeah, it was
The
like
ego
too
hates
much.
that. Someone in the ego
Yes.
mind state trance
Yes.
despises hearing that more than anything else in the world. That
Yes,
truth
because
is singular, eternal, and unchangeable.
yeah, because they'll have to step up into it, and they might get out of their bloody comfort zone.
Right. What is wavering is human perception. What changes is human
Yes.
perception over time.
Yeah.
Okay? The truth is always there. It's not like we, you know, invented something and it became true. You know, the
Yes.
truth was there the whole time. It's up to you to discover it and then to bring your perception into alignment with it. When you do that, then your behavior is going to come into alignment with what is true from a perspective of morality. You know, that's another, I guess you could say, aspect or level of truth. You know, what's true is what is and what has happened and what has occurred and what is occurring now. But what's true is also what is right, what is moral, what is good, what is just, what is in harmony with natural law. You know, that's truth, I guess you could say, all capital letters. You know, that's the big level of truth that if we accept what is and we bring our perceptions into alignment with that which is, and that which is morality, the laws of morality are part of truth as that which it is, because this is a law that operates in nature that binds behavior. When we step into that layer of truth, then we can get the, you know, super aspect of truth in the sense of what is actually moral and good and creates, you know, positive change in our lives and promotes evolutionary development in consciousness. So, you know, aligning our perception to that which is will get us to that higher level of truth and awareness. And that is only going to happen when we break down the ego mindset of people who say, well, my truth is different than your truth. No, my
Yeah.
perspective may be different than your perspective, but there's only one truth.
I
And if
love
we
that.
both align our perceptions to it, we're going to come to the same conclusion because
Yeah.
it's one thing and it's always been there. It's up to us to discover it by aligning our perceptions to it. This is what solipsists certainly don't understand, and it's what the ego entranced mind detests more than anything else. It's been said that humanity's greatest fear very well may be that the truth is absolute. The truth is singular, eternal, and unchangeable. It is absolute. It is not shades of gray, as we've been so conditioned to
Yes.
believe. It is
Yes.
all one way. It is all one thing. And, you know, when you say 2 + 2 = 4, think about how many infinite possibilities in every other direction, both in the positive and the negative, you could go that solution is not. It is only
Yes.
that one thing that it actually is, okay,
Yes.
arithmetically, okay? Let's not
Yes.
get into all kinds of,
Common
semantics
thought
about what two plus the
philosophy.
number 2 + the number 2 means or equals, okay? We're using common sense here. 2 + 2 = 4 at all times, at all places, eternally, everywhere in the universe. And it's not every other answer. There's only one answer to that. If we really deeply understand truth, what we would understand, everything has only one answer. There is only one way that everything is. All
Yes, I
forms of
loved
truth
that.
are
That was such a
singular.
great day when I realized that. The weird thing is, we're all brought up, oh, you've got to tell the truth, you've got to tell the truth. And then your own parents, that are your great truth teachers, they lie to you about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And then As you get older, it's like, you know, does my ass look big in this? Or, you know, oh, I'm just going to my friend's house to do some maths homework and or whatever. But there's just the lies upon lies, and we all accept that we lie, and we all lie for all sorts of reasons a million times a day. And some of those lies don't affect the greater humanity as right. such, but some of them we're so entrenched in that, like you said, it's a mindset, a poisoned mindset, that we are going to have to really work hard on ourselves or with ourselves to get through it.
Absolutely. And, you know, those larger lies that we've believed in and we've built our lives on top of, these are the fundamental foundational axioms of our lives, and we've built whole social structures and societies on top of lies. You yeah. think that that's built on a firm foundation and it could stand? It's impossible. As we build more on top of that, it's already built on a foundation that is fundamentally unsound. And yeah. all that can happen is you're going to get chaos, you're going to get disorder, you're going to get crumbling, you're going to get disarray, you're going to get, you know, breakdown. And yeah. that's what we're starting to see in society, because we've built so much upon these fundamentally untrue axioms of belief. And it's that perception that needs to be changed, that this, you know, the ego can't tolerate hearing that it was wrong. That, see, the force of ego, we shouldn't see it as, or the New Age movement, I don't feel, has the concept of ego right, okay? It's not this, you know, sense of self or this, you know, identification with I so much as it is the idea that we can't be wrong about something. Okay? You know how many times I had to admit I was wrong? Tens of thousands. And I will probably yes. have to admit it tens of thousands more as I continue to live. You yeah. know, the ego is the force. I define ego as the force which refuses to allow us to admit the three words, I was wrong. When people can't yeah. do that, if you have a person that you know or see in their daily interactions in life that has never admitted that they were wrong, never offered someone else a sincere apology.
Most people I know, I mean, a lot of people really.
Yeah, they're in that mindset, you know, that they can't say, I was wrong about this. You know, if if I was in deep ego attachment still, I could never say to somebody, you know, in my former belief system in Satanism, I was so utterly wrong. In my former yeah. belief system, you know, in accepting religious indoctrination in my youth, I was completely wrong and I didn't understand what it was really about. I was once a statist that believed in the legitimacy of government. I was completely wrong. You know, I was once eating poisonous food in my complete ignorance of what was being put into our food. I was completely wrong about what I thought about that food not harming me. You know, it was yeah. definitely doing harm. So,
did you hear my moon landing comment?
Say again?
Did you hear what I said about the moon landing? Because that's one thing I've certainly been wrong on, changed my mind on many times.
There's so many things, you know, the intent of government, false flag attacks, yes. you know, the banking system, what are money, the belief in money in general. There's yeah. so many things people are still attached to that are completely untrue, that what has to happen is the calcified ego needs to be broken down with truth. Truth yes. is the solvent that breaks down the solute. Okay, and it decalcifies the whole ego. It decalcifies the soul, I guess you could say. And it's in breaking real. Down that ego, the person will finally be able to admit, I was wrong. There is a truth that exists independently of my former perceptions, and I can come into alignment with that truth.
Oh, well, what a beautiful world we're moving into. Can I just say, Mark, we've already been speaking over an hour and I've only asked about half my questions, so maybe we can arrange another time or we can keep going for a little while longer. If you want to have a break, you can let me know, or you want to stop
today. I think this might be a good timing to stop this particular session, and then maybe we could do another session like this in the very near future and pick up for part two and go into some of your other areas of inquiry.
Because I'm really enjoying the philosophy that you're extending and the the understanding, but I also I really want to get into you personally, but also I want to, while we're on the subject today, if you wouldn't mind just a couple more minutes,
sure.
on the Course in Miracles, because I was discussing that with Mary Croft, and that's a great book. I had it by my bed for 20 years, and I found a lot of great stuff in there. Even though I was never into the Bible, I was raised on bloody Darwin until I had magic mushrooms and found God in my own way.
Right.
But I had that book by my bed, and even though I don't know if Jesus is real, I don't know if anyone's real, I don't know who's lived and who hasn't, and if people could walk on water or heal the sick, or, but I've always tried to be like Jesus, even though I don't even know if he's real.
Right.
But so I really enjoyed that book. I really enjoyed The Course in Miracles, even if it was, I've found out years later, MK Ultra operation or whatever. I found a lot of spiritual truth in there that gave me great peace, and I often hear in your lectures talking mm-hmm. about this New Age movement, that we have to be careful not to let this lack of judgment and just only observing to not stop us from being forceful when something is wrong or unethical.
That's right.
And I think you're really spot on when you talk about the nature of the New Age movement, and possibly this book as being one of the things that pushed people, although I really don't know how popular the book has been. And I also
I think it's more popular than you realize. I've heard
really?
So many people mention it and tell me that they've read it.
And wow.
Almost invariably, not completely blanket statement, and you know, in all these instances, but almost invariably, they are very inactive people and
yes.
who are not really doing anything themselves. You're certainly an exception when it comes to someone who is actually actively involved in doing something to try to change the dynamic of the world.
And so is Mary Croft.
Right.
Like she. I mean, if anything could have indoctrinated me, I was already into the New Age philosophy in a sense, even though I never called it New Age. I always called
right.
it old age, because like my first job, I wanted to be like Jesus. I thought, I'm going to go and practice hands-on healing, you know. So I've
right.
been a massage therapist for 20 years. But I also recognized that it didn't disable me from being able to use force to change minds around truths in that way. But I can see that it could have been used to do that. Like one of my dear friends who is a musician, he went on to study medicine, Chinese medicine actually. So he went more into the New Age philosophy, I suppose. But he won't touch or look into any of this stuff for that reason, because
right.
he's in that headspace of, oh, if you look at it, you'll make it real.
Right.
Or that doesn't exist for me, that negativity. Like, I don't want to hear about children being sacrificed.
Yes, that
and
doesn't
raped.
Exist for him. That's what
yeah,
I call arbiter of truth syndrome.
Yes,
you know, that if I don't look at it, it's not happening in the world. And this is utter New Age nonsense.
Yes.
You know, there's so many people, Alyssa, that will not even begin to watch my seminar on the deceptions that are contained, the subtle deceptions that are contained within the New Age movement, just because it is called New Age bullshit.
Yeah,
they will not begin to watch it. So I told people, when you put it out there to other people, call it streetwise spirituality for the 21st century and beyond. You know, and this
good.
Way you'll get this, you know, title that is more appealing or you know able to be swallowed by them, and maybe they'll give it a chance. But that shows you how shut down a lot of people
are. And how
are.
Engineered we
how
can
much of a
be.
Religion it is for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been reading a lot of Dave Gorman lately. He's Dave McGowan, sorry. He's mm-hmm. one of my favorite conspiracy debunkers. Do you know of him?
I do not.
He has a site called Center for an Informed America. It's a very tongue-in-cheek name. Google it. You will have the funniest time. He's done a great piece on the moon landing. Like, they're 20-part essays with so many photos. And he is just hilarious as well as an incredible researcher. But he's also debunked the Boston bombing, and he's done a lot of work over probably the last 15 years, really, on stuff. But why am I telling you about him? Oh, I can't remember.
Well, we were talking about the New Age movement in general and the Course in Miracles you had brought up. I'd like to briefly speak to that.
Yes, please do.
This whole thing with the Course of Miracles is Yes, there are many spiritual truths contained within it, but yeah. then it basically postulates this whole notion that the entire physical universe is a prison of sorts that is there as a trap for the soul and needs to, like, go away. This is a very right brain imbalanced worldview. And that also postulates the notion that since everything is an illusion, nothing here that is taking place could possibly truly matter. And
yeah,
we need
well,
to not
I
put
mean,
any energy or investment into changing anything that is here. So you could see if for that didn't work. That method didn't work for someone
yeah.
like yourself. You were too spiritually strong and already armed with enough truth to not take that part of the message into yourself.
Well, this
you took
is what
the good parts and left the rest. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. And that's what I was talking with Mary about today. I've just finished a 700 book about a conspiracy, a false flag in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I do believe there's a lot of great information in there. And I probably believe there's about 10 to 20% disinformation as well.
Right.
But if you didn't go into these deliberate disinformation projects, if that's what it is, or if that's what A Course in Miracles is, if it's a deliberate disinformation project, and they're going to still give you 90%, I think there must be some percentage of us that can know what resonates within
right.
ourselves as truth and just leave other bits of the book. Because I really had that book. And I studied it for 20 years on and off. I had it by my bed. I had a friend whose dad did every lesson day by day that you have to do, and he reckons he went mad by the end of the year. So I don't necessarily recommend anyone do it. But one thing I'd like to say is that I am not afraid of any information, and I don't want to be afraid of any
sure.
information, because all information ultimately must be known by all
right.
of us. For us all
I totally agree. You know,
but I'm so happy that you're doing this takedown on the New Age industry, which is
right.
what it is, because I think without your clarity of mind on that stuff, I wouldn't be able to explain to a lot of my friends so many things that you've helped me to be able to see clearer about the fact that our minds are controlled.
You see, discernment is what is required. That's what you were able to exercise when you yourself went into the study of the Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are approaching that material don't have that discernment. They're not
yes.
able to exercise it. And so they're taking it all in and just accepting it all. They're not saying, does this, they're not using, they're taking it all in through the right brain, but they're not processing it through the left brain. So you did the processing stage through the left brain. You took it in with an open mind through the right brain, and that's fine. But then you have to process all of it and say, does this hold out? You know, does this hold true? Does this come out in the wash? You know,
well,
can I process
so
it and will
right.
it still remain logically consistent? And you did
well,
that
yeah.
and you were able to take the stuff that does resonate with truth and leave the stuff that was deception, whether deliberate deception or deception by rote repeating of, you know, what had already been accepted, a false axiom that had been previously accepted. And I'm not trying to say that this is necessarily a deliberate you know, COINTELPRO or, you know, disinformation campaign. Although it does, the woman who wrote it does have ties to certain intelligence agencies, and many people
yeah.
will postulate that then maybe this was just given to her to promote. And she
yeah.
says, oh, here's a big money-making opportunity because the New Age movement is going to eat this stuff up. You know,
and
that's
for,
how they do
me,
things. They,
like,
I'm telling you, dark occultists do things like that. They will
yeah.
say, we want to propagate a deliberate deception out into the world so it gets people to graft onto it and buy into it. They'll
yeah.
give this whole body of so-called teachings to somebody who wants to become a famous author. And
yeah.
they'll just say, you put it out there. You know, that's it.
Yes.
And then
yes.
these people become famous. They make a whole lot of money. Nobody is the wiser of knowing where it really came from. And then it gets propagated out into the world by people who don't exercise discernment and just then blindly repeat it by rote. So that's the danger in the New Age movement. There's not enough discernment happening. It's too much right brain, not enough left brain. They want to dismiss the power of the left brain and the importance of the left brain in logically processing information to determine its veracity. I'm not dismissing the power of the right brain. They have to be in balance together. You need the creativity and intuition and nurturing and compassion of the right brain and the open-mindedness that it makes possible, but you also need the logical, stepwise, clear, progressive, analytical capabilities of the left brain. Without both of those things, you're an imbalanced human being. I'm trying to say is that this whole movement has some spiritual truths within it, but there's very little discernment about the things that aren't really in harmony with truth, that need to be rejected, that are being taught as true, and just being blindly accepted because nobody's really processing them and analyzing them and determining, does this really come out in the wash as true?
Well, this is so interesting as well. I mean, sorry to hold you up a long time on something so interesting. We could talk for a long time about this, but you know, these days, quantum physics is recent unfolding, or may even be a kind of propaganda or whatever. But to me, you know, Buddha said it, even the Course in Miracles in a sense says it, you know, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, therein lies the peace of God. Or Buddha said something like, what is form is nothing, and what is nothing is real form, you know, or what is nothing is real.
In the sense that fear is illusion and truth can never be destroyed. You know, that which is truly not real doesn't really truly exist. It's only a perception of that thing.
Yes.
But truth does really exist, and we have to align ourselves with the true and the real, and that can never really be destroyed because that's what is. That's what's already here and is always going to be here.
Oh, look, this is so great, Mark. I could talk to you. I could really talk your ears off. So I think maybe let's take a break and do it again in a week or two whenever you have some more time.
That sounds perfect.
Because there's so much more I'd like to go into, even just in regards to that stuff.
Sure.
But I want to know.
We could do a show on the New Age deceptions, or we could get into, you know, you said you had some other personal questions. Anything you want to talk about or ask, that's fair game, and let's do it again soon.
Okay, you are so generous to give me your time. I don't know how you have time to sit around chatting with me when you are so prolific and profound in your work. But anyone out there who wants to hear more of Mark or just start discovering the world anew for yourself, go to whatonearthishappening.com. And Mark's also all over YouTube, and are you the originator of the Free Your Mind conference?
I am. I was the person who conceived of it and then put it together with many other dedicated organizers here in the Philadelphia area.
I just got goosebumps first. Well, it's actually about the third time in this show, but it's a brilliant, beautiful thing, and I couldn't think of anyone who I would trust to have the integrity to run such a show as that either. So thanks for putting that together and putting it all out on the internet for free as well. I think,
absolutely,
you know, your generosity is really appreciated. And, you know, one day when I have $5 in my bank account, I might send you a donation too. And I know you're not asking, but, you know, I owe you a lot is what I'd like to say.
Well, the best way you can quote unquote repay what I've put out there is to share it with other people. That's all I really want to see happen. So if we do that, we'll be making a lot of progress as a species, and we'll be going where we say we want to go.
Okay, well, Mark, that is a really nice way to end for today. I'll be in touch soon. I'll probably have this up in the next few days, and I'll be in touch soon about another time we can continue the conversation.
Great. Lissa, thank you so much for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for making yourself available for my little show here. We'll speak soon. Have a good day.
You take good care.
Yes, thank you, my darling.
Bye-bye.